So that is what I would like to show. What is a quantum impurity model? Quantum impurity model is a model where a few quantum mechanical degrees of freedom are coupled to a field. So it could be, for example, a spin boson system. It could be a particle in a washboard potential, as we have already heard several times here about this, which is would be relevant for a variety of different systems. This problem was studied by Schmidt. Schmidt discovered there's a duality in this system. The duality, there's an exact mapping for an ohmically damped particle in a washboard potential between the weakly corrugated case and the strongly corrugated case, when the dissipative coupling is mapped on 1 over dissipative coupling, which means that you have an exact mapping of the perturbative regime on the strong coupling regime and vice versa.
That's for the ohmic case? Or the
this is holds strictly for the ohmic case in the scaling limit, but there's a more general mapping which maps the power S equal S on 2 minus S, which means ohmic is mapped on ohmic, but if it's sub-ohmic, it's mapped on super-ohmic and vice versa. But there's an exact mapping also in that case. But in the general case, you have a duality mapping, but in the ohmic case, in the scaling, you have a self-duality mapping. You map the same problem on itself, but in a different regimes of the parameter space. So, and I would like show you then the new results for the quantum relaxation and for the decoherence. So this spin boson problem has been studied already very often in nature. For example, it's typical for electron transfer problem when you have a donor state, an acceptor state, and you have a solvent electron, you have an environment, and the question is now how does the solvent influence this transport of the electron? So these questions are related to biological electron transport, molecular electronics, quantum dots, molecular wires, charge transport in nanotubes. There's a long and rich theory in the classical regime, which is related to the Marcus. So one can study different regimes. So the golden rule regime would correspond to the non-adiabatic electron transfer, and I would like now to show that one has also in that ohmic scaling limit the whole answer, complete answer until the adiabatic electron transfer. So we right now are studying with experimenters the possibility to model spin boson systems with Bose-Einstein condensates. Well, you have an atom in two hyperfine states. The one hyperfine state is optically not active, so this can model a heat bath. And in the active state, it can be trapped in an optical potential. And you can have different situations. You can also have a spin boson situation when you have a very deep potential that the atom of the one spaces is tunneling between the condensate and between the trapped state. And in this system, what is really quite interesting is that all parameters of the spin boson model can be tuned. The dimensionality of the heat bath, the coupling to the heat bath, the oscillation frequency, and the bias. So effectively all parameters, and would be interesting whether it's possible really to make these systems in reality. So what we have is a system which is coupled to an environment, which is described in terms of a system Hamiltonian, a bath Hamiltonian, and an inaction term. And I will speak about the already familiar discussed case of an oscillator bath, where you have a whole ladder of excitations, and the coupling to the environment is given in terms of the spectral density function we have already discussed several times. And in the low frequency regime, it is characterized by a power law omega to the S, and S equal 1 is the ohmic case, S large 1 is a super ohmic case, and S smaller 1 is a sub ohmic case. For example, phonons with D larger than 1 make a super ohmic bath. Electron hole excitations near to the Fermi surface give rise to an ohmic type of environment. And for example, if you have an RC transmission line, this would be a sub-ohmic case with S equal 1/2. So to the spin boson situation, you come when you study when you start with a double well potential and at very low temperatures, only the lowest states in each of these two wells become relevant. So we have a two-state system, and the degeneracy is lifted because of this tunneling matrix element which couples these two states. And this situation is then described in terms of the so-called spin boson, Hamiltonian. This problem has been studied very carefully by Tony Leggett and co-workers already in 87. It has been popularized by him. The notion has been introduced by him. And all effects of the environment are in this force-force correlation function, which is given in terms of the spectral spectral density by this expression. So we have the famous cotangent hyperbolicus function, which more or less represents detailed balance between the exchange of energy between the system and the environment. So this spin boson problem can be mapped on the anisotropic contour model. Just to mark it, it's not so important at the moment, but there are so-called mapping relations between the parameter of the anisotropic contour model, where I have an impurity which is coupled to the conduction band of electrons. There are two contributions. There's a so-called spin polarization. One contribution where the scattering conserves spin polarization, and one contribution where the spin flips by the scattering of the electrons. And this J-parallel parameter is related, as you can see here, to this damping parameter K. K is a dimensional damping strength, which is equal to alpha introduced by Tony. K is remembering of name of Condor, because Condor was also studying this problem in relation with the transport of interstitials, or how tunneling of interstitials is affected by conduction electrons. And the Schmidt model is a generalization. Instead of two-state system, we have a whole bunch of discrete states which are coupled with each other with the transfer matrix element delta S. And again, we have a coupling to an environment with a stochastic force, which is again described by a force-force correlation function. So this model is relevant for the dynamics of current bias Josephson junction. The self-duality I spoke before is here for this particular system, the charge phase duality. It also is relevant for impurity scattering in one-dimensional quantum wires. It represents point contact tunneling between quantum hole edges, where one has a crossover between tunneling of electrons and tunneling of muffling quasi-particles, that is, between particles which have fractional charge and integer charges. All this is described by this crossover function, which is a result of this duality, which is in this model. On the mathematical term, this model, the mathematical side, this model can map on a boundary sign Gordon model in the scaling limit, which is integrable, which can be attacked with powerful methods from field theory. And at zero temperature, the scaling function for the transport and the noise of this problem is known in analytic form. That means all moments of the probability distribution function are known exactly. And at a later stage, I will use these results. And from using this information, I get information on the spin boson problem. So let's briefly discuss what method we use. So we use a reduced density description. First, if we look for the complete density matrix, then we have to study the dynamics of both the system, which is described in terms of the amplitudes Q and Q prime, and also the amplitudes of all environmental degrees of freedom. And what you have if you study the total system, the interactions between the system and the environment are local in time. The next step, we trace out the environment, and then we end up with the system dynamics alone. But the price we have to pay is that now we have non-local interactions in time, which correlates all transitions the system makes during time. And the lower the temperature is, the more important becomes the long range of the interactions. So when we have a situation of a tight binding model, and we go to the density matrix, so these points here are the elements of the density matrix. The diagonal elements are the red points, these are the populations, and the green points are the coherency, these are the off-diagonal matrix element. So the dynamics now involves I start maybe in a population state, and then I can make transitions. I can go either this way or I can go this way. To parameterize the transitions, I can introduce charges. I have charges plus one and minus one, which describe propagation. So the U charges describe propagation in this way or in this way, and the V charges describe propagation along the Q prime path. So by arranging these charges U and V, I can parameterize an arbitrary path on this QQ prime plane. So when I have a two-state system, I have only four matrix elements. If the number of states n goes to infinity, I have a complete plane which is filled with matrix elements, and I have a more complex possibilities of transitions. So the inference functional, which describes the effects of the environments, is now given in terms of charge-charge interactions of the Q path and of charge interactions of the Q prime path, and there are also mixed contributions, there are also interactions between the Q and the V charges. And the only relevant quantity that detailed balance is satisfied is this property. This path correlation function, when I make an analytic continuation in imaginary time, satisfies this property, and this property serves that all these models satisfy detailed balance. That is, that the backward rate is related to the forward rate with the detailed balance factor. So when we are at zero temperature and we have a bias, then we are in a strong non-equilibrium situation, and then the right method to deal with is a Keldysh method, or the Feynman-Wirner inference functional method. I have a forward and I have a backward path. On the forward path, I have, when I go to the charge picture, I have the U charges, which describe the hopping on the one path, and the V charges, which describe the hopping on the other path. And now goes to this incoherent relaxation regime, then we know that the transition is described in terms of weights. And the weights have to satisfy detailed balance. And the question is now, does each individual path contribution describe the weight? The answer is no. What we have is, to have a weight, we have to have a fixed arrangement of charges along the Keldysh contour. But that is, we have a fixed a time order of the charges along this contour, but the relevant arrangement of these charges, of the yellow charges to the blue charges, can be arbitrary. And to show detailed balance, one has just to make an analytic continuation, one has to shift these two paths in imaginary time by minus I h bar beta, and then one can show that detailed balance comes out in this way. That means I'll give you examples. So all path contributions which are time ordered along this path, they give rise in a long time limit to a rate contribution gamma n alpha, where alpha is a particular arrangement of the charges along this Keldysh contour. So in the ohmic scaling limit, the spectral density is just exactly linear in omega up to a frequency omega c, and omega c the largest frequency of the problem. And in this regime, this pair interaction between the charges I showed you is given by this function, and at zero temperature, you have a logarithmic contribution of the real part, and the imaginary part is given by I pi k sigma of t. And these two problems I mentioned, both the Schmidt problem in the tight binding limit and the two-state problem or the spin boson problem, they are parameterized in terms of a so-called Kondo temperature or Kondo energy scale. And the Kondo energy scale for these two problems is given by this expression. So these are a number of gamma functions as a prefactor. This here is this renormalized frequency, which have been also already in the paper by Leggett and co-workers. And what one sees at fixed Kondo scale, what one finds is that at fixed Kondo scales, the tunneling matrix element of the two-state system is related to the tunneling matrix element of the Schmidt model by this relation. So in this two-state system, the density matrix has just these four states, two diagonal states, two coherencies, and the path the worker can go is just along this square. When I have a more general situation, for example, with five states, the density matrix has 25 matrix elements. And now I can also now use another type of parameterization. Before, we had these U and V charges which describe propagation along the Q path and along the Q prime path. But what I can also introduce is a so-called quasi-classical path, which describes propagation along the diagonal of the matrix element, and the Xi path, which describes the off-diagonal excursion. That is, the Xi path describes the quantum fluctuations of the systems, and this is a sort of, and the green path is a sort of the classical propagation of the system. And then, in this, using this parameterization with the eta and Xi charges, now I can also do hoppings in this and this direction, and then this inference functional splits up in two factors. The first is a pure phase factor, and in the ohmic scaling limit, this factor only does not depend on the distances of the charges. It only depends on the sequence of the charges, but not on the real distances. This is a pure phase factor, and all the friction effects of the systems are in this phase factor. While the second factor is a noise contributor, it's a sort of a Gaussian noise filter, which filters away large off-diagonal excursions. If I go far off-diagonal, this is a Gaussian filter which filters away because Xi charge is, if Xi is plus 1, I hop away from the diagonal, but because I have to come back to the diagonal again, the sum of all Xi charges have to be 0 for a rate expression. So I have always a positive and a negative charge, and this gives you then a decaying factor that is a negative sign in advance, so it's a suppression factor. So and this parameterization is particularly convenient for this ohmic case because this factor does not depend on the particular positions of the charges. Only the noise factor depends on this. So now let's look first for the simplest question, look for the incoherent tunneling rate, say from the left state to the right state, where the right state is a lower state. And this tunneling contribution is given in the golden rule limit, that is of order delta, it's a perturbation theory in delta, it's of order delta squared, times a function P of E, which is a probability for transfer of energy E to or from the bath. I have to P of minus epsilon has to be 0. That means these two integrals have to be just cancel each other in the 0 temperature limit. And this is exactly what one finds. And at finite temperature, for example, it's in the symmetric case, one can do this integral for this correlation function with I have shown before, and the result is this. And at T equals 0, and finite bias, one had this. But now you see that, so this is the order of delta square contribution, and now assume that K is smaller than 1/2, and if you now make the bias smaller, then this quantity gets larger and larger, and at some point the golden rule approximation will break down, and you have to take into account higher order corrections. And so we have to study now fourth order contributions. So let's first look which are the contributions to the rate with four transitions in the and that means first I have to have a detailed balance relation. The backward rates are related to the forward rate with a detailed balance factor e to the minus epsilon over temperature.
Are you still talking about two state system or
this is now general. This is now first very general. So the difference between the two states in this charge picture, that in the Schmidt model all arrangement of charges are allowed, while in the two-state system after every two hops you have to be again in a diagonal state. And that means these charges along the Keldysh contour have to alternate. That is, it's here. So this cannot be a contribution to this two-state system, but this can be a contribution to the two-state system because here the charges are alternating. So this one, but these are very, so the rate is a fixed contribution along the Keldysh contour, and I have to take the complex contribution, but in reality these are four contributions because this charge can be time order, can be here or can sit here or can sit here or can sit here. So this gives four different contributions with four different phase factors and four different noise integrals. Some of the noise integrals can be the same. So, and there's also this contribution, and or this contribution, and these are all contributions to the rate gamma 1 plus or minus. There are no other contributions. But there's also a rate in the Schmidt problem, gamma 2, which brings you to the other well, so you go further by two wells. And then all of the, you see, all charges along the Keldysh contour have to be of the same sign. And this is related to this, and this can be shown that using this analytic property of this path correlation function, that this detailed balance is exactly satisfied by this contribution. But I now would like what I now want to show you that if we go to zero temperature, means that the left hand side has to be zero. And that means now I have a linear combination of different noise integrals. And this linear combination has to be zero. So I have so from this relation I get a sequence of different linear relations which relates all the noise integrals in a certain way, because a detailed balance has to be satisfied. Now let's a look at the zero temperature case. The noise integrals are parameterized in terms of these xi charges. Xi 1 plus 1, I hope, again, away from the diagram. So what I have a sequence of xi charges, which can be plus or minus, and the noise integrals are of this way. So I have an integrals over all the intervals between these charges. I have bias factors, which can be either even in the bias or can be odd in the bias, and then have this logarithmic interaction between all these charges. And not even one of these integrals can be evaluated in analytic form, but I have relations between all these integrals. So, but one can be particularly shown. If all of these xi's have the same sign, those integrals with a cosine are directly related to those with a sine by this relation. This one can show from the scaling properties due to this logarithmic interaction. So I have two sort of relations. The one is generic to all models which satisfy detailed balance, while the second relation is particular to this scaling limit where you have this logarithmic interaction. And using all these formidable relations, what you can extract from these two properties, you get a lot of relations between the different noise integrals. And you can express all noise integrals in those where the charges do not cross the diagonal. And what one finds for the Schmidt problem, that all the weights in the Schmidt problem, where you make backward transition, all these contributions cancel each other. This is a result. That is, in order delta 4, there's in the Schmidt model, there's no contribution to from the weight going from the one well to the neighboring well in the forward regime. These contributions all cancel each other. And the only contribution which survives in order delta 4 is this contribution. And that means that the rate which brings you forward by n wells is of order delta 2n. While in the general case you would expect that, okay, it starts with delta of 2n, but there can be delta 2n plus 2, delta 2n plus 4, and so on. But all these rates, contributions, they cancel exactly each other. And now, since we have an exact result for the scaling solution for the mobility using this duality transformation, which I do not speak about, using this relation, so I have an exact power series expansion for the mobility, and because I know this property here, I get now information, so I have now an exact analytic expression for each rate contribution in the Schmidt model. Because I know that it's from the analysis we did before, that the rate gamma n is of order delta 2n, and there are no other contributions. And for this reason, I can identify this gamma n plus. And having this gamma n plus, I have not only the mobility, I can do differentiation of the mu with respect to the delta, and then I can generate higher moments of the transport. So I can also generate noise properties by the noise is given in terms of differentiation of the mobility with respect to the delta.
Can you declare the way of taking this integral?
Pardon?
Yes. Can you again reverse the argument and say that now?
Well, it's not only one integral, it's always a sum of several integrals of those which do not cross the diagonal. Okay, but now comes the next trick. Now we have solved everything in the Schmidt problem. Now we go to the two-state problem. In the two-state problem, we have only a restricted number of noise integrals, only those where I have plus, minus, or because after every second state, I have to be back in a diagonal state. But now I can use a trick. I have a lot of relations. So all the noise integrals which appear in the two-state system can now be related to the noise integrals appearing in the Schmidt problem. And using these properties, I can find that the rate in the two-state system of order delta 2n is exactly related to the rate of the Schmidt problem by this relation. So that's an exact expression valid in all orders n. But the physical meaning is different. This rate brings you from this state to the state which is n states further. While this is a rate in a two-state system, where I go make two steps forward and back, coming to the next lower well. And that's an exact expression. And now, because I have an analytic expression for this result, I have now also an analytic expression for this result. And the result, and this is exactly now the weak tunneling expansion, is this expression here. So then U is a scaled bias, which I scale just with a condo scale, which I have introduced before. And the M equal 1 contribution is just the golden rule result. And now I have all higher order contributions. But now I have a problem with this rate, because this rate has a finite radius of convergence. So that means the weak tunneling regime for k smaller than 1 is a large bias regime. So when the bias is very large compared to the Kondo scale, then I'm in the golden rule limit. When I make the bias smaller, then I have to take more contributions, but at one step I come beyond this regime of convergence, and then I have to do a trick. I can use so-called integral relations of this ratio of gamma functions, which are related to integral contour integral relations of the beta functions. And then if I write this integral in terms of the beta function, and then I can interchange summation and integration, and then I get an integral expression for this relation. And when I have an integral expression, I can do integral transforms. And then it's also possible to find the asymptotic expansion. So I start with a Taylor expansion, write down an integral expression, do integral transforms, and then get the Taylor expansion.
Sorry.
Philip.
What
one has to, it depends on K. I will show you just the results in graphic form, then you see where it is.
Okay.
Yes. And this is just a contour integral, so this has a cut, and you have just to integrate around the cut in this way. And this is an exact expression, and from this one can then derive the asymptotic expression, but here one has now to discriminate the k smaller than 1 and k larger than 1, and what one finds is just, this is now an expansion in powers of epsilon, but the leading terms is of order 1 over epsilon, then you see for n equals 0, epsilon just cancels, so they have just the rate in the 0 bias limit. And then all the other terms are the order epsilon squared contribute. So this is now the weak bias expansion, which is a strong tunneling expansion in the case k smaller than 1. And the prefactors Bn of k are given in terms of this function, again, given in terms of gamma function in the case when k is between 1/3 and 1. And when k is smaller than 1/3, it's different. Well, this has to do because one has to look for how the singularities move in the complex plane as a function of k, and some of the singularities, they disappear depending on the parameter k. They are no longer on the principal sheet, and for this reason, one gets different result. And the leading asymptotic term, that is in the limit epsilon goes to 0, so this is a rate, the decay rate. So it's in principle, it's a Kondor scale times a factor which depends on k, and it's slightly different from the delta effective which has been introduced by Tony and co-workers. It's not the same function, it's different. But it differs between 0 and 1/2 only by about 5%. So there was the NEPA gives you already a quite good guess for this.
Is it just numerical factor?
Pardon?
Is it just different by numerical factor?
It's just different by numerical factor, which is about 3 to 5% different, depending on the value of k, in the regime between 0 and 1/2. Okay, and then I can also have the strong tunneling expansion for the k's, k larger than 1, but one has here in this region one is a completely different expansion. So this presents a little of the duality of the Schmidt problem because this factor in the exponent look like k is replaced by 1 over k, but the self-duality is not complete because these factors are different here. This would be the same, but because the problem is different and it's not a completely self-dual problem because it's a two-state system, one cannot expect that one has a complete self-duality. Okay, and here I show you the results. Though the red points are the results of the Taylor expansion, and the blue points are the results of the asymptotic expansion. So, and somewhere here is just the radius of the convergence because this curve would go up here. And here I've plotted the curve, the rate normalized with the golden rule rate. So this would be the weak tunneling regime where golden rule is good, and that means for k smaller than 1, we are in the large bias regime. When we reduce the bias compared to the... So this is this xt is a dimensional quantity. It's essentially delta squared. So this is small, the weak tunneling regime. But what you see, that weak tunneling, if you go from weak tunneling to strong tunneling, this strong tunneling does not necessarily mean that the rate gets large. Because you have a quantum mechanical problem, and the different rate contributions can have different sign, so we have an alternating series, and there can be cancellations, and this is exactly what we find, for example, in the weak damping regime, that is, the golden rule corrections are always in such a way that the exact rate is always lower than the golden rule rate.
So what's the definition of x sub t?
X is just delta squared made dimensionals. So it's delta squared over omega c to the 2k times epsilon of 2k minus 2.
Huh?
Epsilon is a bias, yeah, yeah. But it's just of xt is of order delta squared.
So it's essentially delta divided by the mean of the cutoff and the bias, something like that.
Let me write it down here. So x, well, x is equal to delta squared, and I have to make it dimensionless. And I know that delta squared always comes with omega c over 2k, and then epsilon comes with 2k minus 2. And now I have a dimensionless quantity, and this is x. This is what always happens, appears in this problem. 2 minutes? Yeah, I'm almost done. So what we see at k equal 1/2, golden rule is exact. For k larger than 1/2, the exact rate is always above the golden rule rate. And now when k is larger than 1, then we always have first an increase above the golden rule rate, but at large in the strong tunneling regime, we always fall below the golden rule rate. But now you see, when weak tunneling and strong tunneling, this is a weak tunneling regime, strong tunneling regime, but now small and large bias are interchanged between k smaller than 1, weak tunneling is related to large bias, when now weak tunneling is related to, connected with small bias.
What happens when
well, at k equal 1, this case, then you have a singularity in this Kondor scale, which is known from the Kondor problem.
So it looks as though it's localizing faster in your calculation than one gets in the
non-total
results.
Pardon, what do you mean? That
k larger than 1, it looks as though it's localizing faster.
Yes. Well, that means, so if you go to the zero bias limit, then the rate goes to zero.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
Faster.
Gets, yes, that's right. Yes. Gets faster, yes. Okay, now come to the final. Let's see what can I tell about. Until now, I spoke only about the relaxation rate. But we have given a conjecture, and the conjecture is that in the regime between, for k, between 0 and 1/2, the decoherence rate and this relaxation rate, what we have just studied, is given by this expression.
In the unbiased case?
This holds for all bias at zero temperature. This is a zero temperature, but every bias. And all known limiting cases are exactly reproduced by this formula.
This is two-state.
This is for the two-state system. So, and now, using this result, I get now also the strong tunneling expansion, that is the weak bias expansion for the defacing weight.
So why doesn't it depend on
bias? It comes out from all limiting cases that it does not depend on the bias. For example, if you take in the weak damping limit, we have exact results. We show that this in the weak damping limit, the ratio of these two is just 1/2.
You said it was zero temperature.
It's particular to zero temperature.
Okay, so no defacing.
But in a sense, because we are at zero temperature, so this is a so-called exact lower bound for defacing in the spin boson problem in the ohmic scaling limit. Because at any finite temperature, defacing has to be larger than this one. This is for any bias.
No, I mean, he has a pure defacing term at the time, but it has no expectation value at zero temperature.
Yes, but he still has a finite bias.
Yes.
Because I have still a finite bias, I have always a defacing weight.
Well, generally speaking, one defacing gamma, what you usually call gamma phi in the quantum information literature, is the sum of two terms.
Yeah.
One coming from basically transitions.
Yes.
Finite frequency.
Yeah.
Zero temperature.
Yes. So what I have for example, look for the population. I have different contributions. I have one dynamic oscillation contribution, and so this gamma incoherent describes the dynamic of the oscillation. And I have an incoherent relaxation term, which is described by this weight gamma interval. Okay, just to...
He has spontaneous emission.
Okay, so just to
knock your face.
So I just want to show that the spin boson problem in the T for zero limit has some hidden symmetries. There seem to be strong relations with the Schmidt problem.
Some correspondences have been known already before in the thermodynamic limits, for example, for the free energy. So these results are the first ones for dynamical quantities. Well, but these results are valid only at zero temperature, and I cannot use the same method to finite temperatures because they are what is behind that. I could find these results, that you could find is for this logarithmic interaction. And when I go to finite temperature, I have another energy scale, and this other energy scale would spoil these symmetries which have been exploited here. Thank you for your attention.
So our final speaker is So, who will be telling us about spin correlated states and optics by the system.
This is the poll.